Chapter 6. Surrounded. In the morning, I found myself in an area of low hills. I looked around at the countryside. There was one small cottage in the distance, but no other houses. Suddenly, I heard a plane's engine coming closer, but there was nowhere to hide in this open country. I looked up and saw two men in the plane looking down at me through binoculars. The plane turned and flew quickly to the east. My enemies had found me. I was sure that they would be coming to get me soon. Somehow, I had to find a way of hiding in this open countryside. The first thing that I did was to throw the old bicycle into a small lake, where it sank out of sight in the water. Next, I climbed to the top of a hill and looked around. In the distance, in one direction, I saw a group of men walking in a line, as if they were hunting. In the other direction, I saw a car coming up the road, and in the far distance behind me, I saw two men climbing the hill towards me. The only way that I could go was straight ahead, so I started off quickly. But then I thought that I saw men in front of me as well, although I could not be sure. This was a situation that I knew from hunting in Rhodesia, as well as from my days as a soldier. When you are surrounded on all sides, your only defense is to stay where you are and let your enemies search for you, but not find you. I had just decided on this plan when I saw a roadman.
I don't know why I stopped being a shepherd, he said as I came up to him. Now I'm working for the government, and I'm standing here on this roadside when I want to be in my bed. My daughter was married last night, and this morning my head hurts from all the drinking.
Where's your house? I asked him.
It's there, over the hill. But the new road supervisor is coming this morning to check my work, so I have to be here, said the roadman unhappily.
Does the supervisor know you? I asked.
No, he's only had the job for a week, and he's never seen me before, the roadman answered.
Well then, I can help you, I said. I can do your job for the day and meet the supervisor.
That's a very good plan, and it's easily done, smiled the roadman. My name is Alexander Turnbull, and I've worked at this job for 7 years. Before that, I was a shepherd.
I gave the roadman my jacket and took his dirty old hat, his glasses, and his old pipe. He explained how I should do the road work, and then he went home to bed. I opened the collar of my shirt, and I made my boots all white from the dust of the road so that they would look like a roadman's boots. Then I rubbed a little dirt on my face and also in my eyes to make them red, as if I had been working in the dirt and sun for a long time. When I was satisfied with my appearance, I began to work. I pulled the roadman's handcart to a pile of rocks in the field near the road. I filled the handcart with rocks and then pulled it back to the road. I used the rocks from the handcart to fill the holes along the sides of the road. Very soon, a small car stopped, and a young man in a new black suit got out.
"Are you Alexander Turnbull?" he asked.
Not waiting for my answer, he continued.
"I'm the new road supervisor. You're doing a good job here. But put some more rocks on the roadside a mile back from here. It doesn't look strong enough there."
The supervisor got back into his car and drove away. I had passed the first test. At midday, a car stopped. There were three men in the car, and two of them got out. They were the same two men who had come to the inn and whose car I had stolen. The young blonde man came towards me.
"Did you see anyone pass here on foot or on a bicycle?" he asked. "My daughter was married last night, so I wasn't up very early this morning. I haven't seen anyone like that go past since I've been working," I said.
The men went back to the car and drove away quickly. I continued working even after the men had left, and it was fortunate that I did, because 2 hours later they passed me again, going back in the other direction. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I was ready to stop working when I saw an expensive car coming up the road. The car stopped very near me, and the driver started to light a cigarette. By an amazing chance, I recognized the driver.
he was a snobbish man called Marmaduke Jopley, whom I had met in London and whom I disliked very much. I suddenly had a crazy idea, and I jumped into his car. "Hello, Jopley," I said. "What good luck meeting you here." Jopley looked at me in surprise. He obviously didn't recognize me. "Who are you?" he asked. "Jopley, don't you remember me? Richard Hannay from Rhodesia," I said. "Oh, my God, the murderer!" Jopley cried, shocked. "Right. And there's going to be another murder if you don't give me your hat and coat," I said. Jopley was so frightened that he did as I asked. I put on Jopley's hat and coat. No one would recognize me as the same man who had been working on the road. Then we changed seats. "Now sit quietly and nothing will happen to you," I said as I turned his car round and drove in the opposite direction. "I need your car for an hour or two. That's all." After some distance, we passed several men standing at the side of the road. These were the men that were looking for me, but they did not recognize me in Jopley's clothes. When it was dark, we arrived at a lonely hillside far from any houses. I gave Jopley back his clothes and got out of the car. "Thank you for your help, Jopley," I said to him, laughing sarcastically. "Now you can go and find the police." Jopley quickly got into the driver's seat and drove away. As I sat and watched the lights of his car disappear, I thought about the crimes that I had committed in the past few days. I was not a murderer, but I had become a liar, an impostor, and a car thief with an expensive taste in cars.